Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome into another edition of Infection Podcast. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on X at Nicholas M. Craig or check out our website, infectionpodcast.com. Can't do this thing alone. Joining me, as always, for the last 447 weeks. I was just a child. Oh, Brian crazy. With an eye, Aldridge. What's going on, Brian?
Yes. Hey, not too much. But if you want to find me at Voice Computer on X, or if you want to go to at Brian Aldridge on other places, I might be there too. We've had something pop up this week that surprised me, was not expecting it, okay. And it has to do with something we've talked about in the past.
Way back.
And this is something actually that affects a person who's from your home state, actually, I think pretty close to where you're at.
Yeah, pretty close.
So I was browsing the old X, I guess we could call it, and I saw Elon post something that seemed, I don't know, I thought at first maybe it was troll, but he says, if you were unfairly treated by your employer due to posting or liking something on this platform, we will fund your legal bill, no limit. Please let us know. Now, I'm assuming if you're posting death threats, you know,
you're being a total
crazy
degenerate.
Things, there may be some stipulations. If you're breaking a law by what you're posting, and by breaking a law, I don't mean being a, you know, a vaccine denier, even though the you know, YouTube will push for that. But this is one where if you were fired, and one that we brought up, actually Libs of TikTok brought up specifically right after this was posted to Elon Musk, Kara Creates. And for people who don't know who Kara Creates is, that's the person that was fired by the, is it Games Done Quick? Or I'm trying to remember the exact studio.
Yeah, she was fired from a group known as, let's see, the name of the company. I don't remember exactly the name of the company, but they make,
limited run games. That's who it was.
Limited run games. Run games. And just to say, for how early we are on this, we covered this back on January the 24th of this year. We covered this same this story. It was back on episode 419 of this show when we talked about this.
Yeah, and this is something I'm going to put in here as well, a link to an article that was posted around that time, just so people can have an idea of when it was happening and kind of the context of the time. But so someone posted back and said, hey, this is something where I think this person would be the perfect candidate for one of your first legal cases. And it was Kara Creates. And so she has reached back and forth, sent a DM directly to Elon Musk, and they're in communications to get this going. Now, this is going to be something for her is a perfect example because she didn't do anything crazy. She didn't post anything crazy. She did just normal activity. And in
she
any
liked a tweet.
World, yeah, she liked a tweet. In any world with
liked.
Free speech,
didn't retweet.
This would not be, yeah, didn't retweet
didn't
it, just liked something.
Liked.
They also tweet. Didn't like some of the people that she followed.
Yes.
Which I follow people I don't agree with. I mean, you're saying I'm not allowed to even follow someone to see their point of view and get their perspective on things? And so this is something where limited run games, if they're not careful, they're going to have the full force of X behind it coming at their company. And they're going to not only, I saw something where they said not only are they going to do legal, but they're going to be contacting their HR departments and their boards, and they're going to go after them in different avenues and be very loud about it. Because Elon wants it to where you're not afraid to have a conversation, a two-way conversation. And up to this point, you're not really been able to have a two-way conversation. This is something that's not been allowed, and just finally Twitter starting to allow this, but these companies are fighting back, and these activists are fighting back by trying to get you fired and fear you from being able to take advantage of what the platform's allowing you to do.
So there's I have a couple thoughts on this. First, it was great to see. I'll reach back out to Kara and see if we can get her on in the next couple of weeks to chat about this. But I have a couple thoughts. The first, I wonder how much of this is Elon Musk just being an autistic spurg and coming up with an idea one night and, you know, what comes of this. But so that's one part of it. The other part of it is say what you want about him, love him, hate him, whatever. He genuinely believes in free speech. Like, that has become ever more clear since he took over X. And I genuinely believe that he thinks that free speech is the most important thing in the public square, the town square, whatever you want to call it, that X is. And this would be an example of him truly putting his money where his mouth is. If he truly believes this, then I'm very curious to see him, put up or shut up on it. And he's got the resources to put up, which is great. It's just going to be interesting to see, you have to have a legal argument to win a court case. I mean, you can file frivolous lawsuits all day. Brian, I could sue you tomorrow, but again, without any serious legal standing, a judge is just going to laugh it out of the courtroom. So it's going to be interesting to see how exactly they morph this and how exactly they attack this as a corporation, as X suing these companies. I don't know how, or maybe he's going to do it personally. I don't know how that's going to come out, or does he start it? Does he have another? He's got gazillions of companies that could potentially take on this battle. This would be a great opportunity for Alex Jones's company, Free Speech LLC, but unfortunately, I don't think he has any money. If nothing else happens from this, Brian, maybe we get companies being a little bit more careful about how they
about mistreating themselves people,
and how they decide to. Let's just call it what it is. It's discrimination. I mean, they discriminate against individuals based on their political background. When we talked about this back in January, there was no indication that Kara had any problems at her work. There was no indication that she was a bad employee. None of that. Nope. This was simply because she liked a Libs of TikTok tweet, which, by the way, Libs of TikTok is one of the most viral popular accounts on Twitter. It has 2.5 million followers.
And they don't even really create their own content. They just repost. They repost things that people post.
Yes.
And the people that are posting them are a total opposite viewpoint, and they're posting them in all sincerity, and they're just reposting those things to show people the thinking and what's being said by this other side of the aisle. And they don't like that. They find that to be hateful. Well, so us repeating the words that you say is hateful, and that's kind of a funny thing that they're turning around and making true. You can't repeat what they say without them getting mad. Where on our side, if you repeat what we say, usually that makes us happy because you're getting the word out there.
Yeah.
We want you to say what we call is truth and facts and reality. And there, they don't like that. And I follow these people. One thing that I did, my work actually put out a survey of the company and asked, do you feel like you feel like you could say your personal beliefs and opinions?
Did you fill it out?
I filled it out.
I ignored those.
And they said, do you feel like you can say those things at work? And I said, no. I said, I don't feel comfortable talking religion. I don't feel comfortable talking politics because I don't feel that a conversation will be had, that it'll be negative that comes back from it. And one thing that our work did is they sent out a training, and I was very surprised. It wasn't a training of how to use proper pronouns and everything. It was a training of how to get along with people who don't have the same beliefs as you. And it was one of the better that I've ever seen, because I do subcontract work for other clients, and the ones that they do were all about, well, if this person speaks in a certain way that would be considered more street talk, that's a new language. If they dress in a way that looks like what you would consider in quotes thug, that's just a new style. Don't judge anyone based on that. Where this one was just saying, if someone has different beliefs than you, then be willing to either listen to it or disagree with it if you feel like it, but don't have negative impacts from that. And that's what we should really be doing, is you have a conversation with people and don't get pissed if they don't believe everything that you think. Because that's never going to happen. Nick and I don't, you and I don't believe everything exactly the same.
We shouldn't.
But we realize, differences are normal and healthy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and this goes back, and I talk about this on my show all the time, because I take shots on both sides. And the reality is you shouldn't agree with everything that everybody always says. That makes, yeah, you know, there's countries where you agree with everything that everybody says. It's called North Korea, and if you don't cry loud enough, you get shot. You get sniper shot in the face.
If you don't cheer and clap at the right speed and act as happy as you need to be, you get sent to a camp.
Yeah, you get sent to a camp, or your family gets burned alive. Yeah, your family gets burned alive in their house. So I mean that's what happens when everybody has to say and agree and excuse me and feel the same way about stuff. That's just not what happens. So this is good. Again, you know, we've heard a lot from Elon Musk. I'm going to treat him as fairly as I do everybody else. I want to see it. It's great to say it. It's great to put the offer out. But what exactly does this mean? Because if he follows through on this and there's some serious stuff, and if they get a couple of victories, this could be game changing. I mean, this
sets
really
precedence.
Could change it. Oh,
that,
big
that's
time.
The deal.
Yeah.
Once you set precedence, you can say, here's an example of something similar that happened. Here was the ruling. It'll make it to where the judges don't really even have to think at that point. If it follows along with the same characteristics of the previous judgment, they'll say, yep, this falls right in line with the judgment that was made previously. And I'm assuming that Elon would be willing to even take it up to the Supreme Court level if it needed to go there, so that you could get the ultimate precedence on that. And then he's opening up his whole platform for people to come and safely feel like they have the freedom to say what they want, because enough companies get sued and get huge amounts of money or put out of business, you know, money taken from them or out of business, they're going to quit doing these petty things. They won't be worth the risk.
I want to note one more thing about this Kara situation. Yeah. This came up because a bunch of radical trans people on Twitter dug all of this stuff up and started harassing her employer. This was the traditional cancel campaign that we have come to see and expect. This was not the company seeking this out. This was not an internal report. This was a bunch of mentally ill, fake people on Twitter that pretend to be something else, pretend to be fire hydrants, and run around society like mentally ill psychopaths. These were, it was their persistence and their actions that led to this seemingly completely normal person losing their profession. That's the context here, because this was not the company seeking this stuff out. But unfortunately, these companies are too big of wimps and they're too big of cowards to push back against these groups, because they know they'll be the next one under the gun. And you know, there's the old saying, which I you would assume, doing talk radio for almost three years now, I'd be better at rehearsing some of these sayings. But it's, you know, oh, they came for me and nobody cared, and then they came for you, or you know, whatever it is. They came for me and nobody helped, and then they came for you and there was nobody to help. And that's exactly what this is with these groups, is it's always one step up. It's always it's always the next victim. It's always the next target. It never stops. It's metastasizing, Brian. It's never enough. And it will never, ever end until these groups are put in their place as the radical freaks that they are. And I'm not saying freaks because of what they believe. I'm saying radical freaks because they go after people that they have no vested interest in and ruin their lives. Yep. That is not a normal behavior of people. I'm sorry. That's just not that's not how humans interact. I don't go into a store. I don't go into a Walmart to try and get employees fired. I don't go into a gas station to try and get the clerk fired. That's not how normal society operates. But these freakos on the left, these whack jobs, these mentally ill people on the left, that's what they do, which is not a normal way of operating in a society. So good.
Yeah. And hopefully this will be that turnaround spot, because I think that a lot of people do speak their mind on Twitter. I don't tend to post a lot of things, but also I don't tell anybody that I work with or that I know, you know, outside of certain places, what my Twitter address is. I don't really, try to follow anybody that I know, just because I don't want to deal with it possibly causing me issues with my job. And it shouldn't do that. I should be able to post my opinion and have, you know, either be able to post something about religion or politics or whatever I would like, and not be worried that it's going to affect me personally in those ways.
So,
but that's the society we live in.
So here's some breaking news right now. Dave Portnoy, you're familiar with him, Barstool Sports.
Yes.
He sold his company to a group called Penn Entertainment for nearly $500 million a couple of years ago. $551 million, And I am reading right now on Business Insider that Dave Portnoy has purchased Barstool Sports back and says he's doing it in part to protect free speech. I'm hesitant to play this because it might be profanity ridden, because that's kind of Dave Portnoy. But I want to, this is literally 3 minutes ago on Twitter. These are his comments on this. Let's take a listen to this and see what he has to say.
Maybe the biggest mercy press conference we have ever had here at Barstool Sports. Where to start? Penn Entertainment and Barstool Sports have gone our separate ways. As of this moment, while you were watching this video, I have purchased back Barstool Sports from Penn. So that is right. For the first time in a decade, I own 100% of Barstool Sports. Not since the Chernin deal have I been in total control of everything. Why did it happen? How did it happen? Well, I think Penn, who I have nothing but great things to say, I've said that all the way along with the Penn relationship. I have nothing but the most respect from Jay, his whole team, everything. We did this deal about 3 years ago, and I think both parties are like, we're going to take this thing to the moon. And we underestimated just how tough it is for myself and Barstool to operate in a regulated world where gambling regulators, the New York Times, Business Insider, hit pieces, fucking with the stock price. Every time we did something, it was one step forward, two steps back. We got denied licenses because of me, you name it. So the regulated industry, probably not the best place for Barstool Sports and the type of content we make. Penn was able to broker an unbelievable deal with ESPN. We wish them nothing but the best in their endeavors. It's truly a win-win. I still own a ton of Penn stock. I'll probably hold it because I think it's going to go up. But more importantly, for us, for Barstool, for the first time in forever, we don't have to watch what we say, how we talk, what we do. It's back to the pirate ship. And by the way, I am never going to sell Barstool Sports, ever. I'll hold it till I die. And when I die, I'll give it to Dan or Kevin, who's ever left standing. If their kids are still alive, they'll get whatever. We will pass it down. This is now going to be a place for content, 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 content. Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in. That's right. I'm not going anywhere. Barstool Sports, the pirate ship, the cannons, they will plunder from now for the next 100 years. So welcome back.
So there you go. So that just happened. And, you know, he didn't say free speech, but, you know, but for the first time in forever, we don't have to watch what we say. Exactly. I have mentioned on this show, I've said it for probably since I was 16. Which was 10 years ago, which is a long time ago since we've been doing the show. you know, the world is an Overton window, and it shifts and it slides, and you see the world through this window that's on this sliding spectrum constantly. The other analogy I use is the rubber band. Everybody has pulled a rubber band so far, tried to wrap it, get an extra wrap around that cable, and what does it do? It snaps. You can only pull the rubber band so far, and what does it do? It shoots back and it ricochets in the other direction. And I think the unbelievable amount of online censorship and in-person censorship, for example, a couple months ago, we didn't talk about it on the show, they had to fire somebody from Barstool for comments that they made 10 years ago. Because of they were owned by another company, and that other company made that decision. And you're seeing that this alternative media, which Barstool, if you've not followed them, is an unbelievable story. You just had this joker that went to Boston College that liked talking about sports, and he sold his company for $500 million freaking dollars and now bought it back for, according to Business Insider, pennies on the dollar is what their is what their headline is. It doesn't say how much. He bought it back for. But this is very interesting, and I think that this is the continuation of what we just talked about with Twitter and X, and how people are just sick of being unfairly discriminated. Now, Brian, if you make some egregious claim.
Yeah.
Like, you expect to deal with consequences and repercussions. But you made a joke online a decade ago, or you say something like the people that call for other people's heads because they disagree with them are freaks and dregs on society. If that's enough to get you to lose your job, that's not a good situation to be in. That's not a fruitful society that you're living in. And you're starting to see that now, which I think is great. So this is this is huge.
Well, I want to kind of continue this because there's something else I think is kind of linked to this same topic. And Anita Sarkeesian, do you remember who she is?
The name sounds very familiar.
So Feminist Frequency is the organization. And what they would do is they would go in to companies and they would consult them for a very large fee on how to represent better, and would really just turn companies upside down when it really came down to it by just convincing them with these pre-made talks and charging a huge fee to do it. Well, she is shutting down with that after 15 years. So they're going to be in early 2024. She's going to be ceasing the whole company. And what is it? She won a Peabody for combating harassment in the games industry. She was one of the ones going into all of these game studios, sitting down with their leaders and convincing them that they need to have more representation in video games.
Yep.
They need to be less, toxic towards, female representations. All these things that really started changing the way that video games were created. She was a lot of the catalyst for that. And really, this is something I think that has taken down and really hurt the reputation. I mean, just, like with Blizzard even, having to now decide, these characters are going to be gay on a kid's game, to be all totally upfront. I mean, if you look at that game, it's not just for adults, it's for kids as well. And now all of a sudden you have to have ones that are gay, ones that are pansexual, ones that are, why can't it be about a video game? Why do we have to have so much representation? I don't think of the, how most of those characters represent me in any way. And I'm not seeking for them to do that. They're fake video game characters. They don't have to represent anything in normal everyday life. Would that have to do with politics especially? But she was one of the big catalysts that really just went into, if we went back and looked at the history of some of the studios that came and really turned and came up with these crazy things that they started putting out, she was the one behind the scenes really pushing that in her company. So that is ceasing because they've really started to lose business. Companies have been going bankrupt and been losing money, and so they're not doing these sort of things. And so I think that's a good sign. Because I'm all about diversity and the fact that if you have a video game that's supposed to represent real life, okay, have it represent the balance of what you would see in real life. But the problem is that's not the diversity that they're going for. They want an over-representation of various areas and not equal actual representation. And that's what I've gotten frustrated about is when you make half the characters gay, well, half of the people that you know in everyday life aren't gay. Sure, put some characters in there that maybe represent different things, but you don't have to have, this one's pansexual, this one's bisexual, this one's a lesbian in Overwatch 2. I mean, really, out of 12 characters, half of them have to be some representation in the LGBTQ .. representation, and that's what they end up doing.
And maybe it's just, maybe I'm just too normal, Brian. Which I would never say because I'm very abnormal. Case in point, this program and everything else I do in my life. But I just have never looked at a video game. And I've been playing video games since I was a wee lad like you have. I just have never looked at a video game and cared at all. Not once. What the character looks like, what its backstory. Now, obviously in a story game, you have a little bit of that to go through the campaign. But in a game like Overwatch or Call of Duty, like who cares? Like it's I've never looked at a game and was like, oh man, I can't believe that I am not represented in this or this group is not, like I just it in the list of things that are important to me in a video game, that's not even on it. To say it's on the list or low down would be inaccurate. It's not on it. I don't care. But that's all these people have. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, all right. Yeah, that's all right. All right. We're going off on this. So the problem you have with many of these communities, Brian, is that their whole being is their sexuality. their diversity, their it's all encompassing of them. They don't exist without that. It's the only thing that makes them feel like that they are something worth living, which is sad. I mean, it really is sad when you are at a point in your life where the only thing that matters is your sexuality. Like that's not a good place to be, whether that's heterosexual or homosexual or pansexual, whatever nonsensical terms that they've got. That's not a good state. That's not a good place to be. But when it's all encompassing and it's all you care about, I understand why they react the way they do, Brian, because it's all they have. Like it's their whole being. So it makes sense, but at the same time, it also is ridiculously stupid. And these sham organizations like she was running, Feminist Frequency, they're getting shown the door. Because companies are realizing that no matter what they do, no matter how much they spend on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI this, DEI that, it still doesn't matter. The leftist mob is still going to eat you, no matter what. For one thing, for one employee, it's completely irrelevant.
Yep. And hopefully this is just the initial signs of video games becoming less political. If you have a game that you're creating to be political, sure, go that direction.
Sure.
Because the people purchasing it, that's what they're expecting. But, you know, she goes off on Red Dead Redemption 2 and how, you know, they still don't have a female protagonist and all of these things about how, you know, he's not a good man and just really bashing on the game. Okay, but the game was not made. It's done in the Old West. When you make a strong female type and expect them to go through that somewhat realistic of a landscape, there's very few women in history that have been able to do that. Sure, go to a game that has to do with Vikings. There were some strong female Vikings recorded in history, and you can do a game about that because that's something realistic. Well, but when you try to force something that never happened on someone who's trying to create somewhat of a realistic game, you're making a false reality of the past, and you're telling them they have to follow along with it.
A great example of doing this without scrapping the whole diversity thing, but actually letting it play out would be the prelogue to Yellowstone, the 1842 or whatever it was called. That did his wife in that 1886 or whatever.
Is it 1882? And then there's one before that.
There's like a 1920 and then an 18, whatever. That one, there is. His wife is a very strong female in that show.
And the daughter is.
And the daughter
as well.
Is incredible. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And here's the thing. I watched that, loved it, thought it was great. And it wasn't forced, it wasn't shoehorned in. They just built it into the story, whether intentionally or not, and it worked. You don't have to make a big deal about it. It's a ridiculous. I mean, this lady would die if she went back and watched any of the Clint Eastwood movies. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, go watch a Fistful of Dollars and all those 60s spaghetti westerns. Go see how those played out. I mean, you know, that's like what Red Dead Redemption is based off of.
Yeah. One thing I found interesting is they created a games and online harassment hotline.
Huh.
So if you got harassed in a video game, you would call a hotline. What's that going to accomplish? It's a video. That's going to be ceasing to operate here late September. So I just, what's the point? I mean, you're filing something with someone who's not linked to it. Are they just following statistics? They could follow the same thing with AI.
Yeah, but this has got nothing to do with a video game. Today was really hard. I'm so glad you reached out. Tell me more about what's going on. I'm so frustrated and overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. Let's take it one step at a time. I'm here to listen and talk through whatever you want to share. So is this like a suicide hotline or online harassment?
Well, they're claiming that it's a games and online harassment hotline.
Well, this is a really bad example.
But it really doesn't look like
here at all.
Yeah, it doesn't say, well, I was playing this game and this guy kept, you know, calling me the B word and
oh, God. The infamous B word.
I don't know. I don't know what they're expecting.
Oh man, next week we'll text them.
3 to 7 PM Pacific every day, USA only.
Oh,
messages anytime.
Do you want me to text and see what's going on?
No, I don't want to.
Okay, all right.
I want a proof of online harassment.
Well, I'm not gonna approve any online harassment. I'm just gonna see what's going on.
I think it's interesting that this is like, what is that accomplishing? How about if instead, if there is harassment, how about you give them resources to contact support to make a complaint or to file, something against a person who is actually harassing you, not just saying, hey, well, how does that make you feel? Well, it makes me feel kind of frustrated because I'm playing a video game and this little kid keeps beating me and calling me old man. Do I get mad about that? Or, if I don't like it, try harder or quit playing. I mean, I don't expect the kid to stop playing. I don't know what it is. That to me just doesn't seem like that's accomplishing anything other than treading water is the equivalent of what I see it doing. You're not making any changes to anything.
Okay. So they were operating for 3 years and they had about 650 conversations. So they were averaging less than 2 a day.
Yeah. How many of those do you think were serious?
Well, that would be my second question. Now, yeah, here's the thing. Now, like, obviously, taking all this stuff seriously, I mean, there is suicide hotlines. There are these organizations that, the prayer line, there's the one.
They'll pray for you. Yeah.
The evangelist guy that will, there's a prayer line or whatnot. So, I mean, these things do exist. And there's fine use to have some of these services. Mm-hmm. But again, it seems so forced and ridiculous. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing, Brian. I want to assume that people are. I want to assume that people are trying to do good, but with these actors, I don't think they are. Like, I don't think they're actually attempting to do good. They're trying to make it about themselves. They're trying to get their Peabody or whatever award. I just don't know that all these people that do these good things are actually good people. And I have a really big problem with that. Like, if you just, there's so many people that do things privately that, donate thousands, tens of thousands of dollars privately to organizations every year. And nobody ever knows, anonymous donations and silent partners and all these different things. And then you've just got these idiots that just, have to do this in this big sphere with this spotlight and just shower me with compliments and just, it's bullshit. I hate it. I hate every facet of it. And I can only assume that that's exactly what this group was doing.
Well, in here recently, here's an example of kind of that effect. Here on June 9th, there was around then they had that Summer Game Fest Awards, and that there was a lot of kind of flack received. People are posting things. Here's an example of a tweet. Love Summer Game Fest, but not a single woman on stage this whole time. What year is this? Okay. For $1 feature a woman. It's disappointing to love an industry that will never love you back. First of all, she brings up having all white, all male round tables with no women. What's their race have to do with, if a company, let's say they're out of Sweden and that's their developer pool and they happen to be all white, back in the day, you would say, oh, they're Swedish. That's their heritage. You wouldn't have this forced representation. And I feel like that's what they want now. Now, in America, you have a more diverse pool, but all these people coming in for these awards aren't all American studios. They're not all going to be, it's like having people come from Japan and then being pissed off that they're all Japanese. I mean, do we get mad about that? I mean, I never get mad at that Nintendo's all Japanese people and say, this is awful, boycott Nintendo.
I think the issue here is context. And without context, which of course, surprise, Brian, none of these morons on Twitter have. Did women apply to be part of the Summer Game Fest and were they denied? That would be the first question I would ask. My gut reaction would be probably not, or at least not a large enough number where it was like, oh man, we're just purposely declining women. You're looking at an industry in which there is a lot more men than women. Whether that's, and for some reason that's a bad thing. I don't know why. It's not like video games are this unbelievable barrier for women to enter. But again, without this context. So if no woman applied, Let's just set this as the thing. No woman applied to be part of this. They're supposed to go out and find somebody, even though they didn't apply. Why? What would be the rationale of doing that?
Well, and it's not even, it was companies like, you know, Sonic Superstars, Cyberpunk, the new Cyberpunk DLC, Star Wars Outlaws. So these are just big studios that were sending some of their developers, which is a high majority of men, in especially in that tier of development. You know, there's women that do certain roles, but the majority of the ones that are doing the actual coding are a lot of times men. And so if they're going to be sending the head of whatever department, there's a good chance that it will be a guy. Now, and depending on what studio, they may be white, not all of these companies, or they may be Asian, or they may be, you know, you name what they may be, but they didn't, there was no thing where these companies were saying, well, you can only send men up on the stage, and if you can, make sure it's a white man.
So okay. Here is from the International Game Developers Association from 2019, 81% of the developers identified as white, Caucasian, or European, 7% as Hispanic or Latinx, or 2 as Latinx, Black, African American, yeah. And so on and so forth, which by the way, doesn't equal, I don't know where the rest of the percentage is. So you've got an industry that is 80% white, Caucasian, European. So those
and
are
you're
gonna
mad
be,
that's going to be the most likely the representation that's sent.
I'm looking. I'm
81%.
I'm trying to find a men and woman breakdown because I assume that number is ridiculously high. So yeah, I can't find it right off the top of my head. Just trying to do some searching on it, but yeah, again, you're trying to take an industry that I do believe is open to quote unquote diversity, and you're attempting to shame them into shame's not even the right word. You're trying to force them to bring people up on the stage that might not be the pros in those industries.
Yep. And this is something there's another article I have from Slate, and they're talking about, you know, how they feel like the tech industry has really let down women, you know, saying that these companies were never successful in getting a 50-50 gender balance. But even beyond that, since the hiring of women was so skewed to the supposedly non-essential parts of the business, does that mean the diversity efforts weren't very good in the first place? You know, they're finally figuring out it takes a lot to get women to want to do these roles. And you can hand them all of these fluff jobs, but you know what most of them don't want to do? The head-down coding work. Now, that's not 100% the case, because there's women that I work with that are perfectly capable of doing coding, and they do very well. You know, they can, but you know, not a lot of them don't want to give up the ability to have a family or to do certain things. And this one comments, you know, sleep at the office sometimes when they have deadlines to meet. This is something that they've been really trying to kill about that industry, but that's part of what that industry does, is when they have a deadline, they all push together and they tend to hire young guys that are willing to sacrifice a little bit more.
No families.
And then you're asking, yeah, that don't have families, they're single. And, you know, that's just tends to be what, and then they get married and maybe, but they're the ones that don't have to stop, you know, to have a family. They don't tend to stop coming to work. And not that that's a requirement, you know, the woman could just take enough time off to, you know, get the baby going to where the husband can take care of it, or daycare can take care of it, and then go from there. But that just, the reason that you have these lopsided things is just the demographics of the differences between men and women, which they hate to hear.
Well, and that's it. That's it. I mean, that's what this comes down to, is that you've got them unwilling to accept that there is, and I know that Brian, this will get me canceled, that there is a difference between men and women. There is a fundamental difference, not only in a scientific biological standpoint, but in the way that they go after their careers, the way in which they handle their careers. Again, you know, not everybody is the same. We're not all perfect molds. I mean, Carly Fiorina was the head of freaking Hewlett Packard.
Yep.
What Melissa Mayer, or whatever her name was the head of Yahoo.
Right?
I mean, so it's nonsense.
And here's
but guess
the
what?
Interesting
not everybody is built like Carly Fiorina. The yeah. same way that not every They're guy not willing, is maybe Elon not willing Musk to give up as or much. Steve Jobs. I'm not. You're not.
Yeah.
We're just not.
And here's an interesting quote they put at the end of this. He says, a few of the women I spoke to were like, well, I'm not going to go get a job for a while. I'm just going to stay with my baby for a while. And you can see how that could lead to women dropping out of the workforce. It's kind of a callback to the days before parental leave. Someone would have a baby and then not work for a few years and then maybe get back into the workforce or maybe not. That's very common. That's a lot of time how it goes. That's what my oldest sister, that's what she did. She worked, got married, worked until they had a baby, and then she took care of the kids at home. Ended up having 5 kids. And chose that was more important to her.
But see, they shame women, Brian. And that's the funniest part about this.
Being a homemaker. And I think that is a perfectly reasonable job to have.
Well, it's not
it
only
takes a lot of work.
It's not only perfectly reasonable, it's something that many women want to do. And yet they are chastised by these other groups for it. I mean, you look at the bigotry of these groups in these articles and these various conversations about it. I mean, they shame women that's what they want to do. No, you need to go become a coder. Well, I don't want to.
Yep.
Well, then you're just falling into the patriarchy, Brian. You're just lapping up the patriarchy. No, it's maybe that's just what I want to do. What about me being able to make my own freaking decision myself? But that's not allowed.
Read the last sentence of that article. And here's really what they hate.
They are really putting up on a pedestal those childless single men who feel like they will just jump on a laptop or pick up the phone at any hour.
Yeah, that's who I used to be. I used to be available all the time, with what I was doing previously. And that's something I wanted to get away from. I wanted to get towards something that was more family friendly, that would be more flexible so that I could have kids and have the ability to do different things. And, so I changed careers and I made sacrifices in a lot of ways to do that. That's life. There are people in the industry before that make money because they're willing to do that. I didn't want to be willing to do that anymore. So you know what? They're trying to make that illegal. But you know what? If a woman is willing to do that, she can do the exact same thing. It doesn't have to be just single men. It can be single women. But you know what? Single women tend to not want to do that.
Damn them. Damn them to hell.
I know. It really comes down to it. It's not a limitation of your sex, your gender. It's a limitation of just your personal choices. And if you're not willing to do that, just like if I wanted to become a Navy SEAL, guess what? I'd have to make some sacrifices in what I did in my life, right? Be willing to drop and fly somewhere or be deployed for long periods of time. You know, if that's what I chose to do, that's what I could do. And it's not like you have to lower the standards and accommodate me so that it fits into my lifestyle. No, that's what that job requires. Let it happen. Let them do it if they want to do it.
And I think that's what pisses me off really about all of this is it's like you take an industry like video game development, like IT, like any sort of tech job. I don't believe that they are actively discriminating against women. Now, are there cases where companies are?
Sure.
Or has been
in the past.
Sure.
I mean, there
absolutely.
Was a period of time where I think it did happen.
Yeah, absolutely. No argument there at all. But you're looking at an industry now where if you are, you have an upper hand if you are a female that wants to go into those professions. Because these companies that have been, feminist frequency group has come in and told the CEOs and the HR departments and the board of directors at these companies that this is what you need to do. So it's now like, so now women have an upper hand in it, which is fine if that's how these companies want to operate. And the numbers still aren't there because as you just noted, it's not for everyone. My job isn't for everyone, Brian. I wake up at 4:15 every morning. I wanted to go out last night, but guess what? I couldn't. Wasn't an option. 9 o'clock. I can't go out on a Monday night at 9 o'clock. It's not an option for me. It's a sacrifice. Yep. It's not for everybody. If I wanted to go out 7 days a week with my friends at 9 o'clock, I'd probably have to find a new job. That would be the sacrifice I'd have to make. What is more
important? Those are personal choices that you're tailoring.
And that's my choice.
Your job towards or your personal life towards around that job, and that's something I think that they need to really accept is a lot of these things don't come down to discrimination and people being told no. It's people saying, no, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to, and they're trying to turn it around where all these other areas have to accommodate them. And that's what frustrates me.
Yeah, big time. Good conversation.
All right. Okay, so let's move on to something a little more lighthearted. So Rockstar is getting ready to release Red Dead Redemption on the Switch and the PS4. Now,
the original Red Dead Redemption.
The original Red Dead Redemption.
Great game.
Not a remaster, just pretty much the original version on these.
Okay.
And it's going to be $50 for Red Dead Redemption on Switch.
$50 for a game that came out in 2010?
Yes. So they're charging $50 to release it on this. A lot of people are asking, well, why aren't you releasing this on Xbox, PC? They're just doing it on the PS4 and the Switch, which is kind of an odd thing. I don't know if this is
it's currently available.
Deal or laziness.
It's currently $40.
That's the open world. Well, that's not this remaster. You can currently buy Rock World Open World Western and it's Undead. Maybe they have one you can do there, but
yeah, they do.
This version of it that they're releasing is not going onto the Xbox. That's
yeah, because it's already there.
I think was on there. Okay, yeah, and some people were saying, well, why aren't you releasing this one? I don't know if this one's going to be supported any differently.
I don't think so. They're not updating
the
game.
I think the PC is the biggest part that people are frustrated about. So one thing I wonder if you could run this using Xbox's streaming to the PC service from your Xbox to be able to play it on PC. I mean, that'd be a workaround if people already have an Xbox. I think people probably want it on PC probably so for the modding to be able to really get it modded and do fun things like that and hack at it. Maybe that's why they didn't want to release it on PC. So it's on Xbox. It's on PS4. Now it's going to be on Switch, but not PC. Which you figure if they got an Xbox, it'd be easy to release on PC as well.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's the Xbox 360 version, which is the one that I played originally. And it's backwards compatible, so you can play it on the Xbox One.
Oh, okay.
So it's $30 on the Xbox Store, and then the Undead Nightmare DLC, which is pretty good, is also $10. So it's $40 total, which is $10 less than the version that's going to be coming out on the Switch.
Yeah. One thing is,
I have the original Red Dead disc. I can pop it in my Xbox tomorrow and play.
And it plays just fine.
It's backwards compatible, yeah.
I'll have to try that. Because I played it on the PS4, and that's why I got that PS4 originally. But it'd be fun to kind of play it again. I might play it on the Switch, though. It's just $50.
$50.
I'm not sure I want
to
pay
Dude, come on. Brian's game came out. This game is 13 years old. That's ridiculous.
If it were a remaster, I'd pay $50. If the graphics were enhanced and look more modern, that'd be one thing. But they just ported it.
Well, the Switch came out in, 2014? So, I mean, the hardware-wise, it's probably not going to look too bad on the Switch, if I'm being honest about it.
No, the screen is small enough. It's going to look great.
The screen's 720p.
On a giant screen. Yeah, I was hoping when I heard about this, it was going to be a remaster and you were going to have a cleaner, better looking, especially since they're releasing it on PS4. I mean, this is going to be the same blocky game that I played on my original PS4, or using the streaming service to be able to play it on that because I couldn't play it directly. They had it to where I did PS Now, I think, is how I had to play it. I'd pay for that subscription to play it originally.
You know, it's interesting. So the CEO, they had an earnings call the last couple of days. Take-Two did. They're a publicly traded company. And the CEO, Zelnick, was commenting about the media coverage and the price. And he said, that's just what we believe is the commercially accurate price for it. He's probably not wrong.
I mean,
people
why not for $20? But yeah, but because
people will pay 50
copies for $20.
Well, maybe, yeah, maybe not. I
mean, less people will pay 50.
Sure, but you know,
they probably grafted out and figured out. Well, we'll make a little bit more money at $50 with less sales than we would have 20.
I'm not a fan of the price tag. I won't buy it, but I do appreciate him saying, "That's the price. That's what the market. Yeah, we live in this little thing, Brian. I'm not sure if you're aware of it. It's called free market. It's a pretty interesting concept. And the consumers essentially decide whether they spend their money or not if they think they're getting a good value. And when the CEO of Take Two says, "Yeah, this is what we believe people are going to pay for it. This is the commercial price." Okay, I mean, it's hard to argue with it.
That's what people are buying. Is Nintendo, though, because Nintendo, marks their stuff up to around this price, anyways.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess if they wanted to come out and make this available for $20, they could have. But again, if the marketplace is going to spend $40, or you know, maybe the reason it's $50 instead of $40 is because Nintendo's taking some big cuts, so they're making up their difference on the cost. But I mean, you know, if that's what folks want to pay, then have at it. It's not, I don't have to buy it.
Yeah. I can't believe they're not doing a remaster. But that's the big thing. On a PS4 or on the Switch, I can understand not doing a remaster because you're not going to see that much of a difference visually. But when it comes to doing a console release, I'm just really surprised that they didn't enhance the graphics at all. They kept it exactly the same.
Yeah, well, it's a 13-year-old video game.
And you figured maybe the problem is a modder could come up with something that improve the graphics. I mean, in a couple of months.
But why? I mean, you come down to a question of diminishing returns for a company. How much staff time are you going to set aside? How many resources are you going to set aside for a 13-year-old game when you've got a new version of the game that people are modding and playing right now? I mean, that would be the equivalent of Rockstar coming out and saying, "Hey, you know, GTA Vice City. We got all these," and I know they did some stuff with the Switch that was a disaster, but just them coming out and just doing all this stuff with all these old games. Excuse me, while they have something on the horizon, they've got a brand new GTA, hopefully out in the next couple of years, and they've got GTA 5. So, you know, you stick up with your current game, and then if you want to release the old, which is what Rockstar kind of did, I believe, with some of the GTAs, they just re-released them on Steam, Vice City and Liberty City. You could just play the original games from the early 2000s.
And this kind of leaves the door open for them, if they would like to, is to release this game on the new Red Dead Redemption 2 platform and then resell it again. I mean, if they really wanted to, have an actual remaster that's done in the totally modern style, because they've already got the characters, they've got a lot of the assets already created from this Red Dead Redemption, you know, and they may be working on that in the background, totally separate from this, because this is more of a port. That would be a total rewrite, you know, of all of the existing map storyline and everything put onto a new platform. So I still kind of hold out hope, because I think Red Dead Redemption 2 is still one of the most beautiful games I've played. It would be interesting to play Red Dead Redemption 1, and you'd probably get a whole new generation of people to actually play through it, because you're going to have a hard time getting a kid, unless it's on the Switch, to sit and play through this whole story on something that looks like a 14, 15-year-old video game.
Yeah, I think on the Switch, I don't think you've got that big of a problem on the Switch, though. I really don't. I think its screen size and the way that
it... And if I were going to play it, that's where I would play it. I feel like it would actually continue to play it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Great game. Phenomenal game.
All right. Well, we don't have a lot of time. I wanted to talk a little bit... You mind if we talk about Neuralink for a few moments? Because this has gotten some news this past week. First of all, there was one that was posted on May 26th where the FDA approval, you know, was passed for Neuralink to be able to be put into human brains. And so that's something that was in our notes for a while. We didn't really get to it. But there was a tweet or a post now. Is that what they call it?
A post, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah, here recently where they said, "We're happy to announce our 280 million Series D round led by Founders Fund. We're extremely excited about this next chapter of Neuralink. If you'd like to help with the first human experience, incredible, and work," who wrote this, "on engineering challenges to restore vision and mobility, come join." So there looks like they're, and one thing is, I think they're really hoping to make it to where it allows people to see, maybe through adapters, to be able to move by communicating with the brain. You know, there are a lot of amazing things that this could possibly do. I mean, it seems risky, but if you're in a situation to where you have a major impediment in your life due to something from a brain injury or something from, you know, something not communicating properly with your brain, this would be something you'd probably be very open to. So it looks like they're starting to ramp that up, and they've gotten past the animal trials and moving towards human trials. And I think,
yeah, I mean, if you're
one thing I saw,
I mean, if you're if you're a paraplegic or you're, you know, completely blind or whatnot, I mean, that could definitely be something that somebody, I could see somebody wanting to be interested in.
I saw recently a group that had put out some glasses that you can wear, and they had pretty much captioning. So when you hear things around you, it's just sitting there in the glasses captioning what you're hearing. And for a person that has no ability to hear, that's probably a pretty incredible tool, because if someone's talking behind you, you can see, oh, there's talking. I need to turn and try to find the person who's speaking to me. Or, you know, maybe it says loud noise, you know, to your right or something. You know, it'd be something that would be an incredible enhancement, I think, to their way of living. Also, AI is starting to make big differences. Researchers have been able to translate brain waves into what they claim in this article as scarily accurate images using Stable Diffusion. You know, that's something that with Neuralink, if you are blind, they can give you the equivalent of possibly being able to see. I mean, if they can get it to where it's communicating with your brain and transmitting those images being, you know, via data directly to your brain, will that make it so that someone who's truly blind will be able to see, and they'll be able to convert that to brain waves? Because right now, you know, the images are very AI looking, kind of choppy, but that's going to be improved over time to where a computer will be able to communicate with your brain and send an image directly. And I think that's going to be really crazy for a person the first time that happens, because it's going to be very debilitating. Your brain's not going to know what to think. And you're not limited to, you could transmit almost a 3D image of the surroundings directly into your brain. You're not limited to the two eyeballs for 3D. They can send direct 3D to your brain and not do it in the same way that we do through the retinal, you know, receivers and transmitting. So we're at the very beginning, and we're kind of viewing it in the way of, oh, they're showing images how you would see them. I don't think they'll be limited to that in the future. You'll be able to actually send a full 3D representation. And how are you going to compartmentalize that? Because will it be separate from your brain? Will you be able to register it separately and have another place where you go to feel that? Just like when you smell things, it doesn't interfere with your eyesight. When you feel things, it doesn't interfere with your eyesight. You hear things, it doesn't interfere with your eyesight. How is a whole nother interface coming into your brain going to be registered? Are you going to be able to compartmentalize that and interact with it separately from your eyesight? Is kind of the trippy thing to think about.
Definitely between that and AI and everything else, Brian, it is it's going to be an interesting couple of decades. I'm looking forward to it in my mid-20s.
It's going to drastically change here as we go.
Sure.
And so
as history and we're
at the very
past.
Beginning. I mean, to think of 100 years ago, where they were at with technology and what, the 1920s?
Yeah,
right before the Great Depression and all that.
Radio had just started. Television was just going
not really having very much film, basic kind of a very rough film, you know, having basic photography to, you know, and starting on radio to where now we're doing all these crazy things and interfacing with the brain, landing on other planets. You know, it's pretty crazy. And then in your generation, I mean, you're a little bit younger than me. It's going to be amazing the things that you're able to see, you know, by the time you're my age, even, you know, I think it's going to be pretty incredible.
It's a long time. It's at least 30 years from now.
I know that's very possible. Is there anything else you wanted to cover here before we rolled on out, or?
No, I think we're good to go. Great, good conversation tonight for sure.
All right. Well, hey, if you want to find me, you can get me at Brian or Boise Computer on X, or if you want to go to one of the other platforms, at Brian Aldridge. If you go to my blog, biteoftech.com, that'll give you good places to find me on those services or get a hold of me. Or if you go to our website, infectionpodcast.com, on the upper right-hand side, just join our server on Discord. Through there, you can contact Nick or I directly. Also, if there is a show link that you want to submit to us, maybe a topic that you think we should be covering, put a link of that into the show news channel, and we'll review that before the live show starts. If you want to watch the live show, you can do that through Twitch or YouTube. Or you can watch the Rumble episode after the fact. It's uploaded when we're done. If you want to listen on the podcast form, which that's, I think, the majority, the lower right-hand side has all the different platforms and devices that you can listen on. Now, those aren't live, but if you know, once we've recorded it, those will be available there. And if you are doing that, that means the show notes for that particular episode are all available and ready to go. You can click on it. There's the video and audio player built into the page, and then links for all the different things we discussed throughout the episode, maybe some source material, videos, anything that you want to see or read more into than what we covered. It's all right there. If you want to support us, there's a support menu option there, or infectionpodcast.com/support.
Brian, my friend, is always greatly appreciated. We'll catch up with you next Tuesday.
No problem. We'll see you later.
Alrighty, folks, that's going to do it. If you thought some of our early conversation was rather interesting, well, that's kind of what I do for a living. I make, you know, make so many sacrifices. You can check out the Wilmington's Morning News podcast and all your favorite podcast apps, or visit nickcraig.com for the full copies of each and every show. You can follow me on Twitter at, You can follow me on X at Nicholas M. Craig. Of course, if you missed any portion of today's program, you can check out our show notes at infectionpodcast.com. That's going to do it, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.